Ted Morgan, hello.
Hello, Joe.
Welcome to Labors for Neighbors, the show about labors for neighbors. Some of us wear it on our sleeve more than others. You wear it on your sleeve a lot. You own Beer Culture. This is a beer restaurant. What do you call Beer Culture? What is it?
I would call it a bar restaurant. Yeah, a restaurant.
And it's two restaurants or one?
It's two.
One is on
45th Street and one on 72nd Street.
And they're both called Beer Culture?
Yes.
How does that work, having two restaurants with the same name?
It's a little like McDonald's.
That's cool. So it's not one and two, it's just Beer Culture and Beer Culture, right?
All right. Well, technically the awning does say Gebhard's Beer Culture, who's my partner. Who's the manager, the proprietor of the two of us started it together. And so we did put his name on the second restaurant's awning.
And which one is that?
That's the one on 72nd Street.
Okay. So there's, but technically it's the same name?
Beer Culture. Yes, that's the name we would think the franchise to be known by.
Ted, my wife and I have known you and your wife for many years. Boy, we had a couples group many years ago, and you have not gotten divorced. Neither have we. So it's we did something well.
That we did.
Where did you get your? Oh, where? Who were your work heroes growing up?
Who were my work heroes growing up? Well, my father set a set a very good example as a provider and as a husband, and I grew up idolizing him quite a bit. He worked for General Electric for most of my childhood. For my young childhood, he was Jack Welch's speechwriter, and so I would hear a lot about Jack Welch and other GE executives, and that all sounded really cool. So he got to travel a lot with Jack Welch to places like the Horizons exhibit at Epcot Center in Disney World and Puerto Rico, and wherever they were having conferences, wherever Jack Welch was speaking, he would go along in tow, because just in case the speech needed tweaking. And he brought me on a lot of those trips. So I would say that was my introduction to the world of work.
Have you met Jack Welch?
I have met Jack Welch. Yes.
Jack Welch still alive or not?
He recently passed away. I believe within the last year he passed away.
Yeah. So you guys, are you a good speech maker? Partly because your dad is he a good speech maker or more of a speech writer?
My dad is a good communicator with the written word. He's good at writing speeches. He's got a very large vocabulary. He worked in corporate communications for my entire childhood. Now, my dad had a second act, in which he went into the homeless mission business, after I left the house, and my younger brother got raised by that Ed Morgan. But for my childhood, he worked at General Electric.
Right. Did your dad have a love of beer? How did you get your love of beer? Where did you get that from?
Yeah, I know. And so, by the way, it's always quality over quantity. No, my dad did not have a love for beer. In fact, our house was dry when I was growing up. I never drank. The first time I was 21 before I ever ordered a glass of wine in a restaurant. But I had a friend, his name is Will Hinton, who one day, I discovered pretty quickly that I liked beer, and I would like Sam Adams, and like I would pour it, and right when it was still fizzy, I would smell it to try to get the best of the, and I liked it. I appreciated it. Everything from the texture to the taste or whatever. And so I had a friend, his name is Will Hinton, and he introduced me to my first craft beer. It was a Belgian beer called Triple Carmelite, and I was blown away. I had no idea. I was like, this is what I've been looking for.
A person can have a love of beer, which you do. I do to some extent, but I like a mixed drink better. But you've had a work ethic all your life, I think, and a bit of ambition. You have an ambition to do things well and to bless the world and the land and the culture and the people. I've seen it. How did you find that love of beer changing into a desire to sell it?
Yeah. Well, so I would say I'm not a beer snob. I'm a beer enthusiast. I like, you know, exotic craft beers that a lot of people might not even consider to be beer. But I would have events in my backyard in which I would invite all my church friends. I called them salons, and we would sample craft beers, and it was a lot of fun. I'm not sure if I'm answering your question.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, why don't I tell you this? So one day I met this guy named Matt Gebhardt, who's quite a bit younger than me, but has a similar outlook on things and had this vision for a bar restaurant where there would be coolers and there would be 500 kinds of beer. And you could buy it there like a grocery store and walk out with it, or you could consume it there. It was a concept that I also had thought would be really cool. I'd seen it done in a few times in different cities.
Was Matt ever at one of your salons?
Yes, Matt was at, he would come, I would, because he knows more about beer than I do, I would have him come and introduce some of the more exotic beers. And
right.
that was great fun.
So it was an organic relationship. It was an organic, this idea developed organically.
It was. And so he was managing a craft beer bar at the time that I met him. And he had a passion to have his own place. And so we talked about it for like a year and a half.
What year was this? What year was this?
This would have been, it's a long time ago now. This would have been, I guess, 11 years ago. Hmm. Yeah, the 2009. And but I guess when we were talking about it, it was more like 2008, 2007, 2008. And we talked about it. And so eventually I decided to put up the capital. Well, I've found a couple other investors, but in the end, it was mostly me get it going, and we became partners, and it was a smashing success. Most restaurants fail in Manhattan. I didn't have that high expectations for it, but the first one turned out to be a smashing success. We were covered in the Wall Street Journal, you know, a very glowing article on the front page of the weekend section, the very weekend that we opened, you know, Yelp and Time Out. We were in the Time Out magazine and website.
Who was responsible for that PR? Was that you?
That was more Matt. I mean, Matt did all the work. I have a day job. So Matt did all the work, but we're still partners, you know, 50-50 partners.
Yeah,
and it worked. It really did. It's a unique concept. So when you walk in, you'll see it's half. There's just a big line of coolers, like you would see in a grocery store, but a little dimmer lighting, and you can just, you know, walk around and browse all the beers.
Why was it successful? There's 1,000 beer joints. This is not a beer joint, but why was it successful? Why is it successful?
Well, I guess part of it is probably providence. You know, the other part is probably there was a craft beer wave that was going at the time. It's popular. It still is.
Right.
We kind of got to be known as the beer nerd bar, not the beer snob bar, but, you know, the beer nerd. And there's a lot of beer nerds out there that love to peruse and sample strange beers,
right?
And so it took off. It was a big success. I mean, now it's been closed for 8 months, unfortunately, and that's been tough.
Yeah, COVID, the lockdown, 2020. It is in the boy. You said the other day it's in the process of probably killing off your West 72nd Street bar, right?
It's unclear whether we're going to be able to save them.
But the other bar, the owner of the property has worked with you and will work with you, and it probably will survive, right?
It looks to me, yes, like the 72nd Street one is probably going to die. The you know, that we're not going to be able to come to some accommodation with the landlord, and so the business will probably fail. But the 42nd, the 45th Street one, it looks like, well, it looks like we will be able to negotiate something.
Have you brought anything to the table in the last 10 years on a semi-regular basis regarding the bars? You know, you brought the capital and you brought the integrity of the idea. You know, you bought in, you wrestled with it beforehand. But is there anything that you've brought to the table in the last 10 years besides just general oversight?
My biggest contribution was in helping Matt nail down the business plan for the first restaurant.
Does he manage it more steadfastly on a regular basis? He's the manager, is he?
He's the manager, yep.
I see.
And then we have some assistant managers that cover when he's not there.
We won't even talk about your husbandry and your fathership, you know, your family, that you have I know it to be a successful family, whatever that means. Part of your family work is you bought a property in New Hampshire, and you have done well. And part of the charm of your talking about things is that I've been there, and you've worked on it. I love your orchard. I didn't know you had an orchard. I guess you didn't have an orchard until recently. When did you have an apple orchard? Tell me us about your apple orchard, such as it is.
Okay. So my apple orchard, as you say, consists of three apple trees, which I have only four. One of which.
You have four.
No. Well, I have a crab apple tree and three apple trees.
And the crab apple tree, does that do anyone any good?
Some of our neighbors like baking pies with it. We don't really like it that much. So when I bought the place, only one of them was producing any apples, and none of them had been cared for in years. But I have nursed all three back to health. And this year we had thousands of apples and we shared them with everybody in the neighborhood, and they're good. It's amazing how many apples a properly pruned tree will produce. It's amazing.
Do your neighbors ever bring you a pie that they've baked from your apples?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I left shopping bags full of apples on the doorsteps of all our neighbors, and some of them thank us with pies.
Take a wild guess. How many people does your workmanship on your apple trees bless with the apples? How many people partake? It's hard to say because they bake pies and they give it to their, but generally, how many neighbors do you bless with your apples?
20.
Ooh, is that 20 people? Home? 20 people, no, or 20 homes?
People.
Yeah.
People.
And it's just the people very close by, right?
Well, right. We live, there's not that many people that live close to us.
Yeah.
And our property's 8 acres, so it's a little spread out.
And if you have an apple tree like we do on the property that I grew up on, the apples are never great. They're okay, but it sounds like you have good apples on your tree.
Yeah. I mean, this year was a banner year, which is funny because it was a very dry year. So I watched YouTube videos to learn how to prune trees. I didn't read whether wet or dry years were good for them. We had a very dry year this year, but we still had big, juicy, delicious apples.
And you have no control over the weather. So you can't reproduce a dry year. And who knows if it's even worthwhile to have two dry years in a row. You know, it could be a interspersed type of thing.
Could be. Although last year was an average year. This year was a very dry year, even a drought year.
Ted Morgan, you are a laborer for neighbors. You see how the time flew by?
Yes. It's just fine.
I
like this thing you're doing here, Joe. This is good.
Because of people like you, it's easy to celebrate and honor the work that you're doing. You're doing it for yourself, yes. But you're doing it for your family. You're doing it for your neighbors, and it's a glory to drink your beer in a nice setting, to go to your house in a nice setting, to hear the apples. I need to have one of your apples, so I'm gonna aim to have one of your apples. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Ted Morgan, for being a guest on Labors for Neighbors.
Thanks, Joe. This is great.
All right.